Well, if you'll open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 5. Before I read this particular passage, the title that God has placed in my heart for tonight is What Happens? What happens when the saved do not commit sin? Now, let me just explain a little bit about them. As born-again believers, we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and praise God for them. We cannot lose our salvation, but I've got news for you. We're not perfect. We won't be perfect until we have our resurrected body at the rapture or transfigured, and then where we go to be with the Lord. Now, in the meantime, as children of God, and we'll always be children of God, we commit sin. We're disobedient. We do things that we know we shouldn't do. And we know things that we should do, we don't do. Our growth is to help us that we would do less of sinning and more of obeying. Are you with me now on this? And so what happens when the saved do not sin? When you will reject sin, when you will repent of sin, when you will forsake and not be in the place of sin, what happens? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 25, the Bible tells us, and God tells us, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Now, as we look at that, and normally when we preach this passage, and God has laid on our hearts to do so, and it's perfectly all right, that when you sin, God's going to withhold good things from you. So look at the other side of the coin. When you will not commit sin, when you refuse to get angry, you count more than 10. Some of you have to. Some of you can get by with 2 or 3, and where that you will forgive. When you will not commit sin, then God will give you good things. And so when a saved person will not commit sin, then God gives them good things. What are the good things? Well, we know every good gift comes from the Father above, not from the world. It doesn't come from lucky. It doesn't come from that just happened. No, God is the one who gives it. Amen? And we need to praise Him for that. Look at Psalms 34 and verse 10. Psalms 34 and verse 10. When you will not commit sin, then God will give you good things. And in Psalms 34 and verse 10, God promises, the young lions do lack and suffer hungry, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. God satisfies us, especially when we will not sin. Sin is a choice that you make. The devil cannot make you sin. Oh, you say, well, how do you know that? Well, God turned the devil loose on Job. And the devil couldn't make Job sin. The devil has no power over a child of God unless you allow the devil to do so. Sin is not something that's forced upon you. It's something that you choose to do. Now, you might blame someone else for it. But you need to look in the mirror and realize you're the one that sinned. You're the one that rebels against God. You're the one that chooses not to obey Him. So when the saved will not sin, you'll not have want of good things. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. You're familiar with that passage? In the light of what happens when the saved do not commit sin, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. When we will not sin, we're expressing our love to God. When we're obedient to Him, we're expressing our love to God. When we're disobedient, then we're not expressing our love. And so it's important that a saved person do not commit sin. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But there's a lot of things, a lot of sins that we do that we don't have to do. And we know we shouldn't do them. And we can not do those things. And so then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Now, we've been talking about when you will not commit sin, then you'll have the good things of God. You'll not want for any good thing because God will supply. You will, all things will work together for good to you. Mind the blessings of the good things that God has for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, the Bible says, every man according as a purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I want you to notice a few things in that passage on there that's very important. Every man according as he has, purpose. You choose to do what is right or what is wrong. As he has purpose means he has chosen to do that which is right, not to sin. And that is, has purpose in his heart, so let him give. Talking about, I choose to give. When I fell in love with my wife, it wasn't how much I could spend on her. I was trying to rearrange my budget so that I could give more. When I fell in love with Jesus, it wasn't a matter do I have to tithe. I was rearranging my budget that I could give more because I chose to do so. What happens when you choose not to sin? Well, look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Man, what a promise that is. That's for those who choose not to sin, who make that an effort in their life. I'm not going to be involved in that temptation. I'm going to ask God to help me through that temptation. I'm not going to be in a place where I would be tempted to do that which is wrong. A lot of times we think, well, I can handle that, and we put ourselves in positions where that the temptation becomes very strong. Everybody else is doing it, so it's all right for me to do it. No. What happens when a saved person will not commit sin? God says he will give you the power, the grace that will abound toward you, and you will in all things abound to every good work. Man, what a blessing it is. Just to choose not to sin. Then look at Psalms chapter 51. Psalms 51. And it took a while for me to learn this lesson. And that in the joy, the excitement, the thrill of not sinning. Now again, it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But you can sure be a lot better than you are now. Took me a while to learn that I don't have to raise my voice every time I talk to somebody. I don't have to talk in an anger. I don't have to create a problem. I can be kind. I can be loving. That's a choice that I must make and you must make. What happens? Well, look at Psalms now, 51, verse 13. Well, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Almost every morning when I get up, that's my first prayer. Lord, today I want a clean heart. I want to think about the right things. I want a right spirit within me, not the spirit of the world, of the anger and the negative part of them. In verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. When I do what God wants me to do and I'm obedient to God, I'm going to have the presence of God and I'm going to have the Holy Spirit's power. That happens when you choose not to sin. And then verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now this came out of the fact that David had sinned against God and realized he had lost the joy. When you choose not to sin, you're going to keep the joy of God's salvation. And what a thrill it is. Can you think about not having to deal with a conscience? Can you think about being able to enjoy the full blessings of God and of his wonderful salvation that he's given us, when you choose not to sin, that's going to become a reality in your life. And then most of all, verse 13, then, that means when I choose not to sin, I choose not to rebel against God, I choose not to do the things of the world, I choose not to do that which God told me not to do, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. The biggest problem we have of bringing others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ is because of the sins of Christians. First thing a lot of them will say, does so-and-so go to church? Brother John brought that up this morning. Well, yes, well, and they live the way I live. There's no difference in them. And how that when we choose to live the way God wants us to live, and we choose to crucify ourselves to the world and to the things of the world, and even to ourselves, then we'll be able to teach transgressors our ways, and sinners will be converted unto God. So the blessing we have of the work, and then of the joy of God's salvation, and to be able to witness and bring others to a saving knowledge of Christ, when we choose to live the life that God wants us to live. And we do that by the power of God. Our problem is we want to do it ourselves. We want to do it our way. And that's sin, where we need to come to the place where we're willing to forsake our way and to do it God's way. Then look at Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. What happens when the saved do not commit sin? And Isaiah 58 and verse 9. Isaiah 58 and verse 9. When you choose not to sin, when you choose to be obedient to God, when you choose to love others, when you choose to serve Him, God says, then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. When we choose not to sin, God answers our prayers. Look at chapter 59 of Isaiah. And, well, let's look at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Do you understand that? God has not quit the saving business. God still saves people of every walk of life and every sort. He still hears prayers. God is capable of hearing a prayer anywhere, anytime in this world. But we find a lot of people are not being saved. We find a lot of prayers are not being answered. God's not hearing them. Why? Well, look at verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, the other side of the coin is, when you choose not to sin, he's going to hear you. Are you getting the picture? It's your choice. You're not forced to sin. It's your decision. Make up your mind you're going to do what God would have you to do. Then look at Jonah chapter 1 and verse 12. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 12. You know the story of Jonah. God told Jonah to get up, go to the city of Nineveh, that great city, cry against the sin that is there, tell the people to repent, our judgment is coming. A very simple request. We still have that request today. Every area of this earth is Nineveh for us. We're to go into all the world. We're to talk to every creature. You've heard those verses over and over again. The challenge is to us, as it was to Jonah, to go to Nineveh? Well, Jonah said, Lord, I'd like to, but I'm forced to go to Joppa. No, he wasn't forced to go to Joppa. Jonah chose not to obey God. And what happened? A storm came. It wasn't some little small storm. It was a storm that put some lives in danger. In the first place, the fact that he didn't want to go to Nineveh put that whole city in danger. The fact you'll not go to a lost person in the power of God puts that person in danger. Now notice verse 12 of Jonah chapter 1. And he said to them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea may be so that the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now let me put it this way. What happens when the saved will not commit sin? You will not cause a storm. Think about that. When you choose to be obedient to God, it will not cause a storm. The storms that we have raging in America today, and I'm not just talking about the heavy snowstorms, the floods, and all of that, in which they're part of it. But we've got a lot of other storms going on, the storms of drugs, of alcohol, the storms that are plaguing our nation right now in a terrible way. And we're on a downward slope away from God. Those storms are not because of the lost. They're because in America, God's people chose to sin against God. So what would happen if we chose not to sin? We'd remove the storms. The storms would cease. In the past, no way in the past, when you were children, when I was a child, in fact, we would not even be caught thinking about doing the things that are being done in the churches today. In the past, when you walked into the house of God, you walked in with reverence and with respect. You chose, your parents chose not to sin, or those around you chose not to. And this wasn't in just one church here and another church there. It was throughout our land. And we had peace. You didn't have to lock your doors. You didn't have to take the keys out of your car. You weren't afraid to walk down the streets, even at night. But since we've chose to sin, the storms rage. So what would happen if we chose not to sin? If we chose to be obedient to God's word and do it God's way, the storms would cease. We would not have the storms. Then look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. I guess y'all are hearing me all right. I lost the mic there, but Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. When we choose to sin, we harden our hearts. The churches, we say, well, that church is cold. That term is in reference to those that no longer have love for one another, fussing and fighting with one another. And it seems as though their conscience doesn't even bother them. Why? Because their hearts are hardened, cold, and callous. And where they could come and sit through a service that would just really set your soul afire, but they're cold and callous. Why? Because they chose to sin against God. What would happen if we chose not to commit sin? Oh, the warmness, the compassion, the love, the joy that we would have. Our hearts would be tender. Our hearts would be touched. I can remember the time when people would walk the aisle, especially for salvation, tears would be shed. Tears of joy and excitement because a soul has been born again. A soul would now be in heaven and not burning in the pits of hell. But now today, that compassion is gone because we have chose to sin instead of choosing not to sin. So what would happen if the saved do not commit sin? Our hearts would be tender and compassionate. Oh, that we would have that again. That our hearts would be filled with compassion. We would not cry over some fictitious story or movie or something. We'd cry over a reality of a child that needs a good home. Of the homeless that need some help. Of those that are in need. Instead of saying, well, they brought it on themselves. No, we would be filled with compassion. Especially for a lost soul. Well, what do we do when we choose to sin? We talked about some things that could happen when we choose not to sin. What do we do when we do commit sin? We'll turn to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. What are we to do when we choose to sin? Well, the first thing is we'd say we're to repent. But do you know what we do first of all? We do what Adam and Eve did. What did Adam and Eve do when they committed sin? They covered themselves. They hid from God. They did an impossible task that hasn't been done before them. They devised a way to sew fig leaves together and make themselves clothes. That has never been done before. Think about that. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. When you sin, when you choose to commit sin, don't cover it up. The first thing to do is to confess it and repent of it. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. You've heard it before, but let me bring it to your attention again. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, if. You know what that word if means? That's a choice that you can make. See, you can choose not to sin or you can choose to sin. If. You can either cover your sins or reveal your sins. So if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Do you really believe that? That's God's word. That's not up for vote. It's not up for argument. It's an actual fact. And so if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But then, the next verse tells us, if we confess our sins, yes, Lord, I've sinned. Yes, Lord, I've gossiped. Yes, Lord, I've stolen. Yes, Lord, I've cheated. Yes, Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God, there is forgiveness of sin. But God doesn't want to just forgive us of our sins so that we can go and commit more sin. He wants to forgive us of our sins that we might realize the danger that is there and the problems that have been caused and choose not to sin so that the good things would come, so that the good works would be, the joy of God's salvation would be, sinners would come to know God, prayers would be answered, the storms would cease, Yes, our hearts would be tender. And then in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. We are forgiven not because of what we might do. We're not forgiven because we choose not to sin. We're forgiven because of what Jesus has done for us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, we can recognize sin and choose not to sin. And oh, the blessings, the joy, the thrill, the excitement, the comfort, the freedom that you have. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We've gotten to the point where we're like the world. I was forced to do it. She made me do it. He made me do it. My job made me do it. The world will blame everybody just like Adam did, except taking their own responsibility. It's your choice. It's your decision. Now, when we talk about committed sin, most of us say, well, I haven't done that. You remember 1 John 1:8? Hey, yes, you've sinned. It might not be that you shot somebody. It might not be that you robbed a store or a bank. But if you refuse to tithe, you stole from God. You see? There's little things that we just don't think about that are still sin. And we can choose not to do those things. Now, I don't know about you, but I've already made up my mind I'm not going to rob a bank. But you know what? That decision wasn't necessarily made because God told me not to. It was made because I didn't want to get shot by a policeman. It was made because I didn't want to be caught and go to jail. That decision should have been made because God told me not to steal. Not because of the police force or anything else, but because God said it was wrong. Will you choose not to sin? Will you choose to obey God? It could be that you maybe need to trust Christ as your Savior. You've been depending on your works. You're depending on church membership. When you need to realize that you need to ask God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus. If that's the decision you need to make, I want to invite you during this invitation to come and be willing to pray and ask God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus. It could be that you need to choose not to condemn your brother in this altar call and be negative. And you might need to come during this altar call and kneel and ask God to forgive you where you have gossiped, where you have been negative about others, and where you will be positive, and you want to be positive. You're not going to sin. You're not going to be caught up in that. And let God give you good things, bless your life. It could be you need to place your witness here in this church on the promise of a letter or statement from the Sister Baptist Church. That people know where you stand and be obedient to God. There's other decisions that you might need to make. And choosing not to sin. During this invitation, it's your opportunity not just to hear the word, but to do what God has told you to do. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.